say a few words in English. You will notice that I am not too good English speaker. As I said before, I started to go to school at 5 years old. At that time, there was no English teacher. My first teacher was Mother Tirwai of Family and Plantation. She was only 18 years old. She was a good teacher. We learned very well from her. She teach at school for 5 years in a row. The sixth year, we had a schoolmaster named Henry McPherson. He teach us English by making us translate the French and English, and I learned very good. But the next year, we had another French teacher, Louis Tirwai, brother of Mother. In fact, he is still living today at 88 years old. So the English that I learned the year before was really lost. I never had another chance to learn more English at school. I was 12 years old and I had to quit school because there was no grade higher than the sixth grade. I know that book almost by heart. I couldn't go to school in town because my father would have had to take me to school in the morning, come and get me in the afternoon. It was too far from town. We were 4 miles from town. It could have been almost impossible for him, especially in winter time. I was always hoping that someday I would have been able to go to church, to school, but no luck. My mother and father could not read and write. I remember when I was young, they had to go to the neighbors to have letters read or to have a letter write. I was only 9 years old when I started to read and write a letter for the neighbors. I was proud of myself and so my parents. They didn't have to go to the neighbors anymore. That's why I would have liked to go to school and be a school teacher, but I didn't have the chance. So I stayed home and helped my mother. I learned to do a lot of things such as cooking, washing, ironing, mending, and a little sewing. Knit, crochet, and embroidery. When I was 13 years old, my mother had a baby. I take care of my mother with my grandmother. I was the cook and took care of the house, the washing and the ironing. We don't have an electric washing machine and no electric iron either. But with the help of my brother, 2 years younger than I, we did the washing and lots of other work. In the fall the same year, I went to pick potatoes, and in the morning before leaving for the field, I have to pump water for my mother, 7 to 8 pails of water, so she would have enough for the forenoon. After dinner, I have to do the same thing again, so she would have enough water for the afternoon then. I left for the field to pick. At 4 o'clock, my father would send me home to milk the cows. We have 5 cows to milk. Once in a while, my mother would help out. Sometimes she didn't have time. I also had to pass the milk in the cream separator, feed the milk to the little cows, and feed the pigs. I was just done for supper. After supper, I have to wash the dishes and help my mother to wash and put the little ones to bed. After digging, I have to go help to burn the potato tops. Then it was time to help my mother clean the house and wash the bed, which was no foam mattress at that time. It was poya, they call it in French. Today they would call that a straw mattress. It was made with unbleached cotton with an opening in the middle to put the straw in. We have to change the straw almost every month. The straw became all crushed, that's why we have to change the straw often. In the winter, it was quiet, not much work to do, only once in a while I'll have to go help my father and 2 older brothers to thresh the hose. My father was feeding the thresher. One brother gave the hose to my father to feed the thresher, and the other was taking care of hose that was coming from the thresher, and I was taking care of the straw in the back of the thresher. I didn't like that too much, but I had to help. In those days, you didn't tell your parents that you didn't want to go help. The children respected their parents. We wouldn't have dare say no. In the spring, when the planting came, I had to help my mother to cut seeds do the gardening and take care of the garden all summer long. In the strawberry and raspberry season, I have to go pick berries with my brothers and sisters younger than me, and my mother would make preserves for the winter. There was a raspberry factory on LaRue Helen, now Champlain Street. We picked raspberries for sale to the factory. They gave us 100-pound barrels, and when the barrel was full, my father would bring it to the factory, and they would pay for the first barrel $18, and after 16 and 14. It was a lot of work, but we didn't mind to do it. From the potato tops. Then it was time to help my mother clean the house and wash the bed, which was no foam mattress at that time. It was paillasse, they called it in French. Today they would call that a straw mattress. It was made with unbleached cotton with an opening in the middle to put the straw in. We have to change the straw almost every month. The straw became all crushed, that's why we have to change the straw often. In the winter it was quiet, not much work to do, only once in a while I'll have to go help my father and two older brothers to thresh the hoes. My father was feeding the thresher. One brother gave the hoes to my father to feed the thresher, and the other was taking care of hoes that was coming from the thresher, and I was taking care of the straw in the back of the thresher. I didn't like that too much, but I had to help. In those days, you didn't tell your parents that you didn't want to go help. The children respected their parents. We wouldn't have dare say no. In the spring, when the planting came, I have to help my mother to cut seeds, do the gardening, and take care of the garden all summer long. In the strawberry and raspberry seasons, I have to go pick berries with my brothers and sisters younger than me, and my mother would make preserves for the winter. There was a raspberry factory on LaRue Helen, now Champlain Street. We picked raspberry for sale to the factory. They gave us 100-pound barrels, and when the barrel was full, my father would bring it to the factory, and they would pay for the first barrel $18, and after 16 and 14. It was a lot of work, but we didn't mind to do it.
I remember, you know, when we moved, we were living in Grand Island, and I was about 4 years old then, and I had an older sister and a younger sister, and we moved down here, and all of the furniture and all of the household that we had in Grand Island, they moved down here, and probably they all of the furniture was brought in one mold, and a cousin of my mother, Hippolyte Côté, from the Levertu settlement in Grand Isle, is the one that moved us. And in those days, it was horses, and you know, there was no automobiles or truck way back in probably 1917 or 18, I don't know exactly the year. But he had mules, and he had a team of mules, and those mules were, you know, they weren't as efficient as a horse even, you know, but that's the way we moved down here. I remember the mules very well, see. And that was quite a thing. You remember those incidents because it's something, you know, that happened when you were young, and like probably a little fellow would remember something that happened, an ice cream cone that his father bought at the fair, or something that happened that you remember. That was quite a treat, just the moving down. But as far as the stores were when we were working at Uncle Vita's, on Friday and Saturday night, especially Saturday night, we stayed open till midnight, because the business was done Saturday night. Everybody that worked was paid on Saturday on the farm. There was a lot of farmers then. So they were all paid on Saturday night. And during the harvest or in the spring of the year, during the planting season. So during the daytime, you hardly see anybody in the store. But at night, starting 6 o'clock till midnight, you kept going. And it was busy. But the farmers, you know, they didn't have too much money in the summer. They lived with what they had, and they traded. They came to the store, and one probably was had 8 or 9 pounds of butter to sell. And the store had to buy it, you know, they were customers. So you bought all of what the farmers had to sell if they were some of your customers, if they were your customers. So they came in and they had 8 or 9 pounds of butter, and they had 8 or 9 or 10 dozen eggs, and they had the buckwheat flour, and they came down with something to sell in order to be able to buy what they needed. So that's the way they live. So you bought,
remember how much you used to pay for a pound of butter?
Oh, we paid about 20 cents a pound, 20 cents a pound. Sell it for 25 cents. Butter, eggs, probably paid 15 cents a dozen for eggs, 15, 20 cents in those days, in 1933 or 34, which was depression years. And it stayed that way up till 1940, you know. The price were real low. So you had to buy their merchandise, and it was quite a thing, because some of these farmers' wives, they were not all good in making butter. Some made lousy butter, but still you had to buy their butter. Or if you knew that the butter wasn't clean or wasn't cheap, you know. It's pretty hard to make a good pound of butter. If you leave too much milk in it or too much things in it, it could get sour in no time at all. So sometimes you have to tell a certain woman that you had enough butter, you didn't want to buy some butter. You needed it, but you knew that the butter wasn't too good, you know, that you'd sell it and it would come back and, you know, they'd throw that butter to your face and they'd say, hey, that butter is lousy, and so. You had customers that really made
good
product.
Do you remember any of them that would have made the
difference? Well, whenever that you wanted to sell a pound of butter, and you didn't want a pound of butter to be returned, see, you always said, you know, oh, this butter came from this is Saint Dumont, or came from this is Isidore Dumont, or came from Florent Bossec, or something like that. You know, they made good butter. But sometimes, you know, if the clerk would fool a little around, would throw a pound of butter that came from somebody else, and they'd come back. They wouldn't be too satisfied. But, and eggs was the same way. After all, the farmers, they had eggs to sell. And you do. Today, you know darn well, if you have eggs, you keep them under refrigeration. But without having no refrigeration, probably not picking or gathering the eggs daily, you leave them in the barn a little too long, and sometimes you lose a hen or two, you know, that would want to hatch, or would, I don't know, couver en français, you say, by, and then you'd find a nest somewhere. I say this. Because I've heard of it, they'd find a hen that they would probably have gone under the barn to start nesting, see? And they found it by the way, they had probably a couple dozen eggs in there, or a dozen, so they brought them and they probably sold those eggs, see? They didn't know what candling was, and they didn't know probably enough, but just by keeping the eggs a week in a warm place, they'd bring eggs, you know, and they'd be returned, or they'd, you know, the people weren't satisfied. So when they start canning eggs and pasteurizing milk and this and that, was quite an improvement.
Did they bring any of the garden?
Yes. You bought, in the fall of the year, turnips, a lot of turnips are from the farmers that they have. And as far as carrots and that stuff, no. Lettuce, no, they didn't have so much of that. But some of these onions, they have onions and the shallots, and they call it shallots. A lot of farmers have some shallots to sell, and they still have today some of that. Besides that, no, but a lot of people would come in with a bag of oats in their wagon or their automobile, and leave a bag of oats and change it for something that they needed. 100 bags of sugar or 100 pounds of sugar or
during the Depression or during the war where sugar was scarce, how did you go about it?
Well, there's nothing we could do about it. The only thing is you need a coupon, and you need to, it was rough because a lot of people didn't have enough sugar or didn't have what they wanted. And it's the same thing with butter. Butter, I think, was the worst thing of all. Sometimes they could get Canadian butter that would come over in those days. A lot of Canadian butter came over. But as far as the rationing, you had just a limited amount, and you had to be very, very careful, to be able to keep your inventory. You were allowed a certain inventory. So it was a little rough for sugar and butter especially.
They had to have coupons,
otherwise you couldn't get it, because we couldn't buy a pound of sugar without getting a coupon for it. So we had to return those coupons in order to have our sugar. I think that covers it.